It's the final rewatch. The final rewatch. It's the final rewatch before the new season. It's the final rewatch. I'm watching them all. The final rewatch.
Final rewatch. Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to the final rewatch. We're on to Stranger Things 2, and today we're talking about episode 1 of Stranger Things 2, Mad Max. This one I've seen a few times, but not for a while. I don't think I rewatched it for season 3. I think this is the first time I rewatched it since the podcast. And I look at the title, I think Mad Max. Well, first of all, it's a play on the George Miller, Mel Gibson, Tom Hardy movies. But it's also, I think, a kind of a small little window about who Max is. Yes, she's very good at video games, but she's also kind of an angry kid. And with good reason, kind of, when you look at her home life, and if you read a little bit about her in her her own novel, Runaway Max, which there is an episode on, I can link to it in the show notes if you've never listened to it. I did an episode on that book, but this episode isn't a like Max focused, you know, Max centric episode. It's an introduction to her. It's an introduction to Billy. And it's a reintroduction to all our heroes. But, you know, she and Billy are the two new faces of Stranger Things. These faces, some of them stay for a while. Some of them are still here. We all know. We all know how things ended up for our friend Billy. But... before I get into the episode, I forgot to mention there are new posters that came out. You know, we got the Russian posters, the posters from Russia with love. We got the California posters. And now we have all the Hawkins posters, including this new guy. It says, Hellfire, do you copy? I believe this fella's name is Eddie Munson, which makes me want to say Eddie Munster, which makes me think are they going to be Eddie Munster jokes? And I remember I talked about this in the way back in the new characters. He's the head of the Hawkins High official Dungeons and Dragons Club, the Hellfire Club. So that is interesting. He gets his own poster. First Argyle. Now this guy. We also have all of our, you know, well-known faces. We have Lucas with a kick-ass 80s flat top. He and all these people are standing over the Creel House. We talked about Max. Max has her own poster. Again, standing like the faces behind the Creel House. She looks like, is she putting on headphones? I think she is. The Creel House is in the distance. So I feel like for our Hawkins group, they will be dealing with whatever mystery is part of this Hellfire Club, part of this Creel House. I think that's going to play a major part of their story. And we have Nancy. She's, her hair looks a little longer. She looks, you know, ready to kick some ass as usual. Is she wearing a jean jacket? Very, very apropos. I know that's not the right word. Fitting. It's very fitting. And also, this tweet says, "Wheelers, do you copy?" And for a second, I was like, who's the new girl? No, that's Mrs. Wheeler. She has her hair's blonde. Didn't it get blonde last year or the second year with Billy when she was by the pool? But looks like she has a little, like almost like a perm. Very, you know, very of the time. Dustin, of course, always with a, you know, a hat on, no matter what. Always with some sort of Hawaiian shirt. My God, these guys are getting so old. He's wearing a thinking cap. Scoops, his says, "Scoops Troop, do you copy?" With Steve, Mother effing Harrington, looking, you know, these older kids don't look that much older because they don't age as quickly as the youngins. Robin, do you copy? I see she looks kind of, maybe her hair's kind of the same. She's got a real serious look on her face. Also another great book if you want to read. I did her novel as well. It's funny, though. I got pinged for copyright infringement. I think, I wasn't sure if it because I used some audio from the podcast that for the Rebel Robin book or because of the Queen music I used. So I quickly hacked together the audio, tried to clip it as much as I could, re-uploaded it. And that's why if you ever listen to that episode again, that's why it sounds so clunky. And Erica, of course. And there's still an Erica comic book out there that I want to do a book club episode on. Fear not. The book club is not going anywhere. Obviously, there are other things happening right now, but the book club will continue at some point. You can bring that to the bank. I don't even know if that's the right terminology. And I think I covered everybody. There's Lucas and Max again. I think that is everyone of the new posters. So it's really the one that's interesting to me the most at this point is Mrs. Wheeler. And why did she get her own poster? Does something major happen? Does she have a major storyline in this season? Makes you think. All these other people, you understand. Even the new characters are like, okay, they're going to play a big part in this season. But Mrs. Wheeler? Interesting. All right. Without any further ado, let's talk about Mad Max Beyond Stranger Things. That's not a terrible joke if you know the third Mad Max movie was Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. I'm going to try to do this episode and maybe this whole season of recaps a little different. Because it's a rewatch, I don't want to do a full recap. I feel like I've done that. That episode exists. They got longer as each season went by, but it's out there. So I almost feel like I just want to talk about the characters and briefly, of course, what happens with them. This episode does a wonderful job, a perfect reintroduction to all of our heroes. But before we see anybody, we're not even in Hawkins. We see a completely different group of people in a completely different town when we see our first glimpse of another patient from the lab. You know, L is number 11, which means, at the very least, there are 10 others out there, maybe more. But now we know Elle is not alone. And we see this this girl's older, too. She's a teenager. Looks like she's robbing something with a bunch of her friends. The police are chasing them, and she has the power to make you think you're seeing things. There's actually a great comic book called Into the Fire that expands on that. I believe her character is mentioned in the Dangerous Suspicious Minds novel, but you can actually get more on her in that Into the Fire comic book, which I would suggest you read, which also talks about other numbers out there. But it's such a cool reveal because you don't know what you're seeing. Then all of a sudden you see someone with powers, or you see something and you're like, wait, what the hell just happened? And then you get the nosebleed and it's like, oh, and then she wipes her wrist and you see the tattoo and you're like, whoa, there's a bigger world out there. And I'm correct in thinking we don't see them again for a while, right? We don't see them until Eleven finds them. I think. You know, it's been a while. I've said that a million times. But then we get our introduction to our gang of friends. And it's all about finding quarters in your house. Kids, if you're of certain age out there, you might not realize the love of the arcade. I would go to the mall with my parents, and my dad would sometimes give me $1. Sometimes he'd give me $2. That's 4 to 8 games you could play. Depending on the game. Some of these games at this point were 50 cents, which is ridiculous. And some, I think there was maybe one game that was 75 cents, almost $1. It was like a full car you had to get into. The arcade was such a big deal when I was a kid. The beach that, well, I still walk my dog at every winter because you can walk your dogs on the beach. But the beach, if you look up Salisbury Beach, it was a place called The Center. When I was a kid, there were arcades all over the place. Like, not an arcade. Arcades. Multiple arcades. You know, if you couldn't play the game over here, maybe you could play it over there. You had Joe's Playland. You had, like, Midway. You had, at one point, the Dream Machine was there. Then there were other ones. I think it was called Carefree was another one. There were a bunch of arcades around the corner. There's this way, that. There's arcades all over. There was arcades that were right by the beach, so you'd walk in there with just, you know, with no shoes on all the time. One arcade had a bathroom. One arcade had a place where you could do karaoke. Not karaoke, but you could make your own music video. One arcade had 2 floors, and there were pool tables on the top floor. And now, I think there are 2 arcades still there. They're both Joe's Playland. They bought them both, and they're just across the street. There's plenty of games to play, but it's just the need isn't there anymore. And there's a place in New Hampshire up where my mother-in-law lives called the Fun Spot, which I believe is the world's largest arcade. And if you want to play old video games, that's the place to go. My point is, in this, in going off on this tangent, is arcades and playing video games that you just couldn't play at home. Yes, you look at these games, you go, what? You just couldn't play these games at home. They were too good. Yes, you had Atari, but it wasn't even close. So that was the thing to do. And of course, they collect their money in different ways. Dustin goes through couch cushions, which I've done. I've done that for arcade money. I've done that for gas money. Lucas does the old-fashioned way of actually working for his money. He actually works up a sweat. He, like, I think he said he needed to take a shower because he actually worked for his money for old man whoever. And I like that Dustin's like, how does he have that kind of money? Like, how much money did he really need? And Mike, well, Mike was looking for quarters and decides, I'm just going to, you know, I know what I'll do. I'll steal from Nancy. He says he'll pay her back, but he just steals. And we see Mike, we see Nancy, we see Dustin, we see Lucas, we see all the Wheelers as they run to the arcade to play Dragon's Lair. when you see games that look like Dig Dug or Pac-Man, and then all of a sudden, a game comes out where it looks like a cartoon. Dragon's Lair was something that blew my mind as a kid. It looked too good to be true, and there's a reason for that. It kind of was a horrible game. If I'm remembering this correctly, all you're really doing is trying to get a certain video to play. So they'd play some kind of cartoon, you like hit this button, try to do something, and then hopefully you did it right, and it gets to the point where it shows that you won. I don't think you're even moving the guy around or anything like that. It was just a bunch of videos that you're trying to create a reaction of some sort that allowed it to say, okay, you did it right, you won, right? I mean, that's what it was. It was a money, hole. You never would get far. I don't think I ever made it past 5 seconds. You'd watch other kids play. That was another thing, too. When kids were playing the arcade, you stood around them to watch. Maybe you'd get next. I know they talk about putting the quarter down to say you've got next. I don't remember that being a thing. But you would just stand there and hope that someone would get off-road, or at least one of the steering wheels would open up so that you could join the next race. Oh, super off-road. What a game. I'd still would play that to this day. I would put that up there with any video game ever. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, arcades. So they're playing Dragon's Lair, and they are stinking. And he's like, Lucas is like, well, at least I still could do it. And Dustin's like, well, at least I still have the records in Dig Dug, and I forget what the other game was. And the guy who works at the arcade is like, I don't think so. And I like that he's a few years older, but he has a relationship with these kids where they can yell at him, and he can yell at them. They're just kind of... It's like not friends. It's like frenemies, like friendly banter, but like in a mean way. And he points out that, no, there's someone else has a top score, and they couldn't believe the score. They couldn't believe it was someone named Mad Max. Like, what? Who the hell is Mad Max? I have no idea who Mad Max is. And while that's happening, Will, we know that he's at the... that he's back, right? And we find out later how long it's been. But we don't know the adverse effects. We find out later that what happened to him has happened before. He gets this vision of the Upside Down. It's a little different. It's very red. There's a storm coming. And he snaps out of it when Mike comes to the door. He's like, you okay? Yeah, we're okay. I'm okay. Okay. Oh, great. But there's something going on. Now, we saw Nancy in the Wheeler house, but the first time we see Steve is with Nancy. They're still together. They're in a car, and Steve is working on an essay for college. And you could see Nancy's like, well, this doesn't really make sense, and maybe you would put this with this. He's like, oh, my God, do I have to rewrite? She's like, no, we can just rework it. And you start to see that Nancy has a knack for writing, for telling stories. Which we see more of in the third season. But you see that her and Steve are together. And at that point is when we get the first introduction, like, what is that noise? And you hear the Scorpions, rock you like a hurricane. The only thing that I'm not sure this was the original version. I felt like this was a newer version. And I felt like, I don't think they played the correct version. They made it seems like a newer version to me. I've heard that original version a million times. And I'm like, why is that not the old version? Now, I might be wrong, or I might be nitpicking. Either way, it's something I noticed. But this Trans Am gets there, and two people get out. First, we see Max. We're like, oh, actually, we don't know who this person is yet. I'm sorry. So we see this redhead girl get out, and we see this long hair.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
No good. When I was, again, going back to the mall, jean jacket, long hair, you know, kind of like an FU attitude, we called these guys mall rats. You've seen the movie. There's a movie out there called Mall Rats, guys hanging out at the mall. But it was like a specific thing that I thought of when I thought mall rat, I thought of long hair guy, jean jacket, heavy metal patches on his jacket. Looks like, you know, he probably smokes, and he doesn't give a crap what you think. In a way, you know, I'm a little envious of that. Who gives a crap? And also, looking back, I wish I had such a jean jacket. And at one point, maybe it would have been cool to grow my hair long. Now, I'm just excited to grow my hair. Waka waka, that's a joke. So, this guy gets out. And he's too friggin' cool for school. Literally, he's too cool for the school. And you see the girls. One of them is, I can't remember her name. It was Tommy's girlfriend from last year. She's there for a moment. And you see all of them like, look at that ass. They are just like, they are just looking at him like candy and jeans. And he's looking around like, where the hell am I? And the girl, we meet the girl because of the great Mr. Clark. So the kids are in the class. Mr. Clark is, they're talking about brains. And the principal comes in and says, here's your new student. And Mr. Clark's like, whoa, not so fast. We do things proper here. And he's like, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from sunny California, it's Maxine. She's like, it's Max. It's just Max. All four boys look at each other like, what? Max? She sits down in her chair and they all four turn, you know, real subtle guys. They all four turn and look at her. And this is our real first introduction to Max. We jump over to the department store where Joyce works, and we see her working on a Ghostbuster suit. Nothing is set yet, but we see her working on a Ghostbusters suit. So that, it's not the first time we saw her. The first time we saw her was dropping off Jonathan at the arcade. But this new guy comes in, like, Sean Astin, the great Sean Astin, at this point, well known for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Sorry, my Boston Lord of the Rings came out. Hey, you see Lord of the Rings? Yeah. I could just say Lord all day. Lord of the Rings. But for me, he's always going to be the guy from Frighteners. No, for me, he's always going to be Mikey from the Goonies. Always. And what am I saying? He's also Rudy. He has a lot of big, you know, well-known films. Yes, to me, he's always Mikey from the Goonies. Then Rudy. Then Samwise Gamgee. Then Bob Newby. From Rudy to Newby. Bob effin' Newby. Superhero. This is our first time seeing him. And again, we don't know what to expect when we see these people. You know, a show like this, you're thinking, uh-oh, some things might be too good to be true. Some people might be too good to be true. This guy could be trouble. Well, guess what? This guy is wonderful. He likes kissing Joyce, sure, a little smoochy-smoochy. But he's like, don't forget, we're going to have movie night with the buyers. Make sure that it's, you know, I know it's Jonathan's pick, but I hate scary movies. Don't have him pick a horror movie. We see Hopper. Is this our first time seeing Hopper? Yes. Maybe. Yes. I believe it is. He is at work in the morning. Always good in the morning. He shows up and we see Murray for the first time. Our first time seeing Murray Bauman, who's there because he's talking about the Russians are invading, which maybe at this point that was starting to happen because I wonder when the mall was starting to be built. And so he's on to something. He's not completely crazy. He just doesn't know all the facts. He thinks there's a girl out there with powers. And Hopper's like trying to downplay it. He thinks it's a Russian girl. And he thinks it's connected somehow with Barb. And you find out that he's been hired by Barb. And I think Hopper said something about taking their good money. There was one thing Hopper did when he played with his typewriter. I don't think I picked this up the first time. He was making this noise and then the phone rang. He was signaling the receptionist, Flo, the woman. He was signaling her to call the office with anything. And she called with a pumpkin. Well, something with a pumpkin patch. Hopper has to go check out the pumpkins. They're all rotted out. And this guy thinks that old Eugene poisoned his pumpkins. You know, they all look gross and disgusting. He thinks the guy thinks because he stole his idea of pick your own pumpkins that that they sent someone over to poison. What also happened is there was something there in the woods, or at least Hopper thought there was something. I'm pretty sure there was something. But when he went out looking for it, all he saw was a crow. He pulled his gun out on a crow. But that's it with the pumpkins. It comes back in later. But we go over to the school. We see Nancy and Jonathan. They're invited to... Well, Nancy takes a flyer for Tina's Halloween bash. Come get sheet-faced. Jonathan doesn't want to go. Nancy's like, you should go. You know, you can't spend Halloween alone. He's like, I'm not. I'm going out with my brother. I'm taking him trick-or-treating. He's like, the whole night? He's like, well, you know, maybe. I don't know. And then Steve pops in all smoochy-smoochy as Jonathan walks off. So I feel like I'm doing the recap, even though I said I wasn't going to do the recap. And you know what? It's just the way it is. So outside, we see Lucas and Jonathan. Lucas and Dustin, they're spying. Actually, I'm sorry, not just Lucas and Dustin, all the kids. They're outside, they're arguing. You know, she's roller skating, she's skateboarding, and they're like, girls don't play video games, this is what they think. And she crumples up a piece of paper, throws it down into a garbage, and they all run over, pick up the piece of paper, and says, stop spying on me, creeps. I love it. At this point, principal comes out. He's like, William Byers, your mother's here. And Will has to go off. We don't know where he goes yet, but he has to go off. And Mike's like, you know, you think he's been acting weird or, you know, different? He's always been quiet. You know, Lucas is trying to downplay it. He's always this way. He's always that way. But Mike is sensing something. Mike is sensing there's something different going on here. So Will and his mom go off to the lab and, you know, Joyce is like, you gotta, you know, tell him what you thought you saw. I like that. I like that Will isn't hiding this from them. He's letting them know that it's happened. He's letting his mom know that it's happened. And he's letting these people know that it's happened. And who are these people? It's the goddamn Hawkins lab again. But different people. According to the doctor, those people are gone. They're gone. Dr. Sam Owens. By the way, Hopper's there to meet them too. Because he's part of this. And he's going to be there for him. And I love that. Even though later he's like, how's Bob the Brain doing? You know, he's good. He's like, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. He goes, if anything happens, you let me know. Because they talk to Dr. Owens. He brings up post-traumatic stress disorder. Almost like these are visions that Will is having. He's like, you just got to treat him normally. Not make a big deal about it. But he says, like, this is all new to us, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's something that, you know, in 1984, they're still trying to figure it out. But Will talks about it. He talks about there's something evil. He senses evil that wants to kill. He's like, kill you? He's like, no, kill everyone. We don't know what to think of Dr. Sam Owens at this point. Paul Reiser, first of all, he seems like he's such a great actor, and he comes off likable. Very different from Brenner right away. Brenner was like, he wasn't a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was a dick in dick's clothing. That's just what he was. Dr. Sam, different approach. Very warm, very friendly, asking about candy, just kind of real different approach. And because he's a different person. And, you know, we all know that he turns out to be a fine fellow. But we don't know that at this point. And you can't help but not trust this guy who, when they leave, he gives a little wave. He goes down into the lab. And you see that that there's a guy, you know, the gate's still open. Like, hello, yeah, the gate's still open. And there's a guy with a flamethrower now trying to burn it, close it, kill it. I don't know. But when he's like, I have to tell you, I'm on your side. Trust me. I just thought of Brenner saying, will you trust me? You know, and so did Joy. She's like, trust me? Hello? But, you know, what other options do they have? They're bringing him there because who else knows or would believe what was going on? So Lucas and Dustin, we see them hanging outside the arcade. We see Max getting dropped off, arguing with whoever's in the car. We don't know his name's Billy yet. We don't know what a kind of a prick he is. And she gives him the finger. She goes in and they're like, she's incredible. And I like that they're already saying, I saw her first, or you just won dibs on her. And Dustin's like, how is she going to, she's not going to be able to resist these pearly whites. He's got the teeth now. Back at the Wheeler house, we see that Mrs. Wheeler wants Mike to throw away a bunch of toys. We also learn he's been acting out, doing stuff at school. Mr. Wheeler's like, you know, three strikes and you're out. You're on like your 20th strike. You're barely on the team. But we do see that he's looking through toys and he's got to give some away for charity. But the Millennium Falcon just makes him think of L. And I swear he throws the monkey in there. That's the stuffed monkey that you see at the end credits. But he calls L. It's like, Mike says it's day 352. So we know it's been a year, basically. He's looking for L in the walkie. Are you out there? Out there? He walks away and he hears Mike. And I swear it was Levin's voice, right? But then all of a sudden it's Dustin. And they're trying to get through to him, and he didn't want to talk to them. They want to add Max to their party. He's like, it's a democracy, you know. If they want to add and vote her in, what if she doesn't want to be voted in? He's like, she can't resist these pearly whites. Then Dustin gets dropped off, and that's when we see there's something outside of his house in the garage, in the garbage. Bum, bum, bum. I forgot Nancy and Steve, they have to do something. They go over to Barb's house. It's actually sad. They go there to have chicken, KFC. Steve makes a funny line. This is finger looking good. And we find out then that they're selling their house to pay this guy Murray to investigate their daughter's murder. Now you think at this point Murray is a swindler and a crackpot and a conspiracy theorist. Now, he is a conspiracy theorist, and he's a little cuckoo, but he is not a swindler. Like, I believe that he is genuinely doing the work, trying to find this girl. It's just, it's terrible because Nancy and Steve know the truth. Hell, all of them know, even Hopper and Joyce know the truth. All those kids should know the truth, but nobody can say anything. No one can, like, I guess if you can't produce a body, how can you say, well, let me explain what happened. Let's go find this gate. She's in there. I mean, they could do that. But instead, they're watching these people sell their home so that they can afford an investigator to search for something that Nancy and Steve know they won't find. And it's tough. It was sad. And Nancy was upset about it. Over at the buyer's house, Will is drawing. They're all there. Bob, Joyce, Jonathan, and Will. Will's drawing something, and it's called Zombie Boy. And Jonathan's like, what's that? Who's the zombie boy? He's like, I am. And he's like, who called you that? Is that somebody call you that? And he doesn't say anything. And then Jonathan's like, hey, you know, are you okay? Will snaps at him. He's like, stop treating me different. Stop treating me like a freak. And Jonathan's like, what? You are a freak. I'm a freak. Being a freak is great. He's like, who would you rather hang out with? David Bowie or Kenny Rogers? And that kind of got Will feeling better. Like, you know what? It's okay to be different. Who cares what other people think? But then Bob comes in. He's like, I love Kenny Rogers. Ooh, Mr. Mom. And they end up watching Mr. Mom, which is funny. That zombie boy drawing actually ends up being featured in the comic book Zombie Boys, which I, again, another episode I did on the book club, if you want to check that out. They're all available. If you listen to me now, there's a good chance you heard that then. But if you didn't hear it, go back and check it out. These are all interesting, fun reads that if you have a chance, I would say to do so. All it does is expand the world of Stranger Things. We get a brief little moment in the lab where this dude is just kind of bouncing a ball, doing nothing, and all these buttons go crazy in the lab, like picking up some sort of activity. What is activity? What is the activity? I don't know exactly. But Will gets up. Now, I was going to say he gets up in the middle of the night. But it's not that late compared to where we see Hopper later. Well, I guess maybe Hopper's just late. He was supposed to be back at 815, but he's late. Will gets up, goes to pee. All of a sudden, he hears a storm outside. There's red lights flashing. He opens the door, and there's the upside down in front of him. Goosebumps, scared to death, and off in the distance you see, this is the first time we see the Mind Flayer, right? I mean, it looks like a giant spider monster. It is a very scary thing that, you know, he's just like, and it's not a dream. This guy is like, these are visions being presented to him. This is what he's, you know, he's not making this stuff up. It is frightening. We cut over to Hopper who drops off in the woods. And I'm thinking, I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, he's going to check that box and put some food in it. No. There's a cabin out there. He steps over a tripwire, does a secret lock, secret knock, and then the door opens and there's a TV on. He's watching TV. He goes over to eat. There's a TV dinner. Turns the TV off. There's a TV dinner. And there's some Eggos there. And you hear, 815, you're late. And he's like, it's 8:15. And it comes over. He's like, dinner first, then dessert. And she says, okay. And you look, and there it is. There she is. 11. The girl who disappeared last year. The girl who Hopper basically maybe or maybe not sold out is there in the cabin with him.
A what?
And that's the end of the beginning of Stranger Things 2, Chapter 1, Mad Max. Again, a wonderful reintroduction to our characters while progressing kind of what's going on now, dealing with some of the repercussions of last year, and introducing new faces. Some faces are still with us today. Just a wonderful episode. And again, it makes you ask that question, where the hell have you been, 11? I love it. I love it. And I love rewatching this. So, we're back on track. Stranger Things 2, ready to roll. I can't wait to talk about this some more. I can't wait to go through this entire season, and hopefully I do it in 8 days like I need to, because now there ain't no more Duffer Buffer. If I keep doing this, it's going to bring me straight to the 27th. And oh my God, then it's back. It's really, really back. But we still have time. We still have 17 days until we get there, if I'm doing my math right. Something like that. So while we're waiting, thank you so much for listening to this. Thank you so much for staying subscribed. And remember, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. The show has an Instagram that I don't use yet, Stranger Things Pod, Stranger Danger Pod, and or podcast. I might be even getting that wrong. And but it has a Twitter account, Stranger D Pod, which I do use. And of course, everything can be found at fansnotexperts.com. So until tomorrow, stay stranger, my friends, and don't listen to Kenny Rogers when you could listen to David Bowie instead.
Fans Not Experts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.